Stark Blast. During the days after they left the Green Palace that wasn't Oz after all, but which was now the tomb of the unpleasant fellow Roland's quartet had known as the TikTok Man, the boy Jake began to range farther and farther ahead of Roland, Eddie, and Susanna. "Don't you worry about him?" Susanna asked Roland, "out there on his own?" "He's got Oi with him," Eddie said, referring to the Billy Bumbler, who had adopted Jake as his special friend. "Mr. Oi gets along with nice folks all right, but he's got a mouthful of sharp teeth for those who aren't so nice, as that guy Gasher found out to his sorrow." "Jake also has his father's gun," Roland said, "and he knows how to use it. That he knows very well, and he won't leave the path of the beam." He pointed overhead with his reduced hand. The low-hanging sky was mostly still, but a single corridor of clouds moved steadily southeast, toward the land of Thunderclap, if the note left behind for them by the man who styled himself R.F. had told the truth. Toward the Dark Tower. "But why?" Susanna began, and then her wheelchair hit a bump. She turned to Eddie. "Watch where you're pushing me, sugar." "Sorry," Eddie said. "Public Works hasn't been doing any maintenance along this stretch of the turnpike lately. Must be dealing with budget cuts." It wasn't a turnpike, but it was a road, or had been, two ghostly ruts with an occasional tumble-down shack to mark the way. Earlier that morning, they had even passed an abandoned store with a barely readable sign, Took's Outland Mercantile. They investigated inside for supplies. Jake and Oi had still been with them then, and had found nothing but dust, ancient cobwebs, and the skeleton of what had been either a large raccoon, a small dog, or a Billy Bumbler. Oi had taken a cursory sniff and then pissed on the bones before leaving the store to sit on the hump in the middle of the old road with his squiggle of a tail curled around him. He faced back the way they had come, sniffing the air. Roland had seen the Bumbler do this several times lately, and although he had said nothing, he pondered it. Someone trailing them, maybe? He didn't actually believe this, but the Bumbler's posture, nose lifted, ears pricked, tail curled, called up some old memory or association that he couldn't quite catch. "Why does Jake want to be on his own?" Susanna asked. "Do you find it worrisome, Susanna of New York?" Roland asked. "Yes, Roland of Gilead, I find it worrisome." She smiled amiably enough, but in her eyes the old mean light sparkled. That was the Dedda Walker part of her, Roland reckoned. It would never be completely gone, and he wasn't sorry. Without the strange woman she had once been still buried in her heart like a chip of ice, she would have been only a handsome black woman with no legs below the knees. With Dedda on board, she was a person to be reckoned with. A dangerous one. A gunslinger. "He has plenty of stuff to think about," Eddie said quietly. "He's been through a lot. Not every kid comes back from the dead. And it's like Roland says, if someone tries to face him down, it's the someone who's apt to be sorry." Eddie stopped pushing the wheelchair, arms sweat from his brow, and looked at Roland. "Are there someones in this particular suburb of nowhere, Roland, or have they all moved on?" "Oh, there are a few, I wot." He did more than wot. They had been peeked at several times as they continued their course along the path of the beam. Once by a frightened woman with her arms around two children and a babe hanging in a sling from her neck. Once by an old farmer, a half-mutie with a jerking tentacle that hung from one corner of his mouth. Eddie and Susanna had seen none of these people, or sensed the others that Roland felt sure had, from the safety of the woods and high grasses, marked their progress. Eddie and Susanna had a lot to learn. But they had learned at least some of what they would need, it seemed, because Eddie now asked, "Are they the ones Oi keeps setting up behind us?" "I don't know." Roland thought of adding that he was sure something else was on Oi's strange little Bumbler mind and decided not to, The gunslinger had spent long years with no quartet, and keeping his own counsel had become a habit, one he would have to break if the tet was to remain strong. But not now, not this morning. "Let's move on," he said. "I'm sure we'll find Jake waiting for us up ahead."